So today is titled Making All Things New. After the first Christian church becomes established in a sense, at least the first Christians do, and they're meeting regularly, they have the Holy Spirit, they begin to perform miracles in the name of Jesus. They begin to do incredible things in the name of Jesus, and it gives the people a glimpse of who Jesus was and who Jesus is, and that He is alive. So today, the Holy Spirit is alive and active in their lives. So this story is a pretty awesome story in Acts chapter 3. It's about the lame beggar. Anybody ever heard of the lame beggar?
Yeah.
All right. So this is actually a really, really, like I said, neat story. I'm going to read a little bit of it off to you guys, and then we'll dive into it. But I think you guys will enjoy it.
What now?
Just the first part, not the second part today. So in Acts chapter 3, it says, "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of those who enter the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, 'Look at us.' So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. And then Peter said, 'Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk.'" So think about it, you were like lame, basically meaning that you couldn't walk, and you're crippled, paralyzed. And so every day you're laying outside the temple, and outside the temple you're asking alms of people. Basically you're asking for free gifts. So you're kind of like in Nashville and big cities, a lot of times homeless people or those that are disabled, some side of the street asking for money each and every day. Very similar kind of situation here, just you sit outside the temple because that was where a lot of people would come in and out of each and every day. And so this is what your life is, day in and day out. And then you got to think about the people in the town. They're going to know this guy. They're going to know his story. They're going to know that he's always out there begging. There's some people close to where I work at in Nashville. It's the same people out there every single day kind of asking for money. Every now and then you'll have people change out, but typically it's the same people each and every day. So as you drive by and they talk to them, they give them some money every now and then, you start to recognize these people. You know their situation. And so as the story continues on, it says, "So he leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God." So these men, instead of Peter and John giving him money, but like, "I'm going to give you something even better. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." And all of a sudden he's healed from all this illness that he has from years of suffering. And he's not just walking the temple, he's leaping and praising God. Now, if you were somebody that were regularly going to the temple, and you saw this man maybe for several years, and all of a sudden he's running to the temple, you'd be like, "What in the world happened to this guy?" Like, it would shock you. It's truly a miracle. And so people now want to know, how did this happen? How is that possible? And this is where we're going to get to something that's really cool today. It says, "Now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon, was greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, 'Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But you deny the Holy One and the just, and ask for a murderer to be granted to you, and kill the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. His name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Now, you got to think about this. If you're one of these people that advocated for Jesus to die, and you said, "Yes, please free Barabbas, not Jesus," and now all of a sudden Peter says, the reason this man is walking that you guys have known for years being lame, now that he's walking rejoicing, is because of the Jesus that you killed, because he did raise from the dead, and his spirit is alive and well today. How would that make you feel? Probably like, oh, a little shot in the heart, you know? You probably feel pretty rough about that.
I
want
to use this on him.
And so Peter and John do this because they want to show these people that their sinfulness. You know, they want to show them, you know, how sinful they really are. But there's going to be a turn in the story here. They want to first show them that how sinful they are, but then they want to show them how great God is and how great his love still is for them. And that's where the story transitions here. So I want you to pay attention to what the next part of this said. And it starts in verse 17. It's kind of neat. It starts with yet now. And when you have like a yet now or a but in the Bible or a why, you have to ask why is that there. And so it says, yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. So now it says this in verse 19. Repent, therefore, and be converted, so that your sins may be blotted out. And now catch this. So that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive to the end times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So he gets these people to recognize how bad they messed up and how sinful they were. But then he shows them that even though you were that sinful, even though you made these mistakes, if you repent and turn back to Jesus, he's going to forgive you of all of that. And so he's going to blot out all those sins in the past. All those things when you mocked him, when you whipped him, when you pleaded for him to be put on the cross, when you celebrated when he died, all these terrible things that you've done, if you recognize today that, oh crap, I made a mistake, he is alive, he is the Savior, and you realize that, and you repent of your sins and give your life to him, all that's forgiven. Because that's the kind of love God has for you, and that's the kind of love he has for this lame beggar. And that's why he heals people. So it's kind of like, it's a neat story, if you think about it, because it also applies to our lives today. We look at these people a lot of times, like in Nashville or in cities, and we look at these people that maybe are low in society, and we think of them as less than sometimes because of their situation. And sometimes we also look at like people on the news that commit these terrible crimes, and we look at these people like, how could you do that? How could you do something so evil? How could you do something so corrupt? And it's right for us to be angry at sin. But we also have to look at these people and say, that's still somebody God created, and that's still somebody God wants to redeem. They're not in a good place right now. The person they are today is not a great person, but God sees the potential that they could be if they give their lives to him. And that's a challenge for us as Christians. When you look at people today in society, don't just look at them at where they're currently at and the mistakes that they're making and the life they're living. Look at who they could be in Christ. Because it says that God wants to restore them. God wants to make them new. He wants to take them from where they are and make them into something that they're completely opposite of, that he approves of, that somebody that people are going to love to be around. Somebody that's going to have peace and joy in their life, and that's going to truly glorify God in their actions. And so the message today is making all things new. Here's what I want you guys to think about. Everything.
Us?
Yeah, I want you guys to think about this. Yeah, everything.
Us versus them.
No. Everything on earth today is tainted by sin. Okay? So if you think about when God originally created things, he said it was good. He created people, he created animals, he created the livestock, the plants that we have. Everything that God created, he said it was good. Now, once humans sinned against God and his presence left the garden, everything became very not good. Because sin slowly and almost really quickly started to corrupt everything that was there. I want you guys to think about this. Think about animals. Think about the earth itself. Think about health, okay? Animals, originally in the Bible, if you guys think about it, they lived in the garden with humans. So although humans had dominion over the animals, you never heard of animals attacking humans, being violent toward humans. There was no death originally, right? So not until after the fall of man did you start having this, you know, violentness between animals and humans in certain senses. So that wasn't God's original plan. Earth itself was good. The garden had everything they could ever want. Now we got weeds everywhere. We got, you know, grass that's dying out. We have the earth that, you know, it's tainted in a lot of ways. It's diseased. The ground is not as good as it used to be. It's funny, I've been doing a lot of landscaping and gardening, and it's amazing how many weeds and how many vines and diseases like just continuously come up, even in Tennessee. And so the earth is corrupted as well. But again, back in the day, we have this beautiful garden. You didn't have any of that. And then you think about health as well. Obviously, humans, you know, they weren't sick until after sin. Now you have diseases that run for. And ultimately, it leads to everything dies. Nothing will last forever. So when it says here in Acts 21, it says, whom heaven must receive into the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken to you by the prophets. So throughout the history of the Bible, it talks about God is going to come and eventually restore all things to himself. And it mentions that really in Revelation as well. John sees this, that in the end times, when the earth comes to a conclusion, God is going to restore all things to himself. So I want you guys to think about that today. All of this, so the hope for us as Christians is even though we've messed up and we live in a tainted place right now, is obviously when we die, we go to heaven, we're in a place of no death, no suffering, no pain. But there's also, sometimes God shows us little glimpses of that here today on earth. Like with the lame man and the beggar, he shows that he can restore somebody that was sick and broken back to himself, back to how God originally planned it to be. Yeah, something.
So
there, man, it's like, does
that mean that there are living beings
on there,
the same God, but also different
gods? What do you mean by that? Yes, that's a good point. So on Earth, so Earth is the only place that has, you know, human life. Other places across the earth, they might not have heard of God before, the God that we worship. That's what I was saying. It's important for us to share the gospel. And they said, the other planets, that there won't be any human life. It's just unstable. Yeah, I'm sure.
He was so far away,
and
they have their own.
Okay, so listen though. So you got the animals, the earth, health. Then I want you guys to think about something else too. Relationships were broken. If you think about it, originally, Adam and Eve got along well. You know, they had a great relationship in the garden. What broke that relationship? Sin ultimately, but think about this. So Eve ate the fruit that she was supposed to eat from the tree that God said don't eat from. Then she gave it to Adam. He also ate. And what's funny is, you know, she basically blames Adam and he blames God. And then the blame game goes around. And I'm sure they get mad at each other. You know, she's probably blaming Adam because he was supposed to protect her and guide her to the right things. He's probably blaming her for tempting him to eat the fruit. All these things go around. The relationship gets broken. And then over time, their kids, the first murder happens in the Bible with Cain and Abel, and it just goes downhill from there. And ultimately, their relationship with God is broken. And so, what I want you guys to really think about here is when God says he's going to restore all things back to himself.
Wait, hold on. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so it's interesting thing to think about. So Eve ate the fruit first. She did also give it to Adam, but Adam's responsibility was to take care of the woman and to basically protect her. And so when he would willingly let her eat from the fruit, there's also a sin on Adam's part as well, because he didn't intervene and stop her from doing that. And she was his responsibility to make sure he wasn't going to let her fall into that sin as well. It's a good question, though. It's a great thought there. Good question. So I want you guys to think about relationships for a moment here. And in the end, when we die, when we get to heaven, our relationship with God obviously is restored in heaven. But also think about all the people that also gave their life to God in forgiveness or in repentance. All of them are going to be worshiping and celebrating God together in a perfect place. And that's exactly how it's supposed to be in the garden. Humans were supposed to live in the garden forever, worshiping God, enjoying His presence, having all they could ever want and provide and needed. But yet, sin ruined that. So God promises that one day, all that will be restored. But just because that's going to happen one day for those that are Christians, it can also happen today, too, in a sense. And that's what the lame man and the beggar is talking about. It's just because we know eventually when we get to heaven, all things will be restored. When we give our lives to Christ here on earth, and we follow the Holy Spirit's leading, God begins to restore relationships that are broken on earth as well. Think about your family life. Hold on a second. Think about your family life. A lot of people have divorced parents. A lot of people have, cousins that they don't get along with. Siblings' relationships maybe are fractured. They have all kinds of, all of us have this probably in our lives to some extent. I have a lot of relationships in my family history that are broken relationships. And so God is saying that even though we've messed up, we've had some bad relationships on earth, we've done things that have ruined some things in a sense, when you give your life back to God, when you truly trust in Him, and you start living a life that honors Him, following His Spirit, even the worst relationships, God can mend. It may not mean that everybody gets back together or whatnot, but it means that there can be some common ground that's reached again. There can be a restoration that's there again. That relationship that seems like it's totally unfixable can be fixed in a sense. But it's only through the power of God and the Holy Spirit. Because humans ourselves aren't going to fix relationships that are broken. Because we're all still sinful. Even though we may be Christians and honoring God, we still have human nature that we're fighting against. And so we're going to naturally make mistakes, say things we shouldn't do. It's only when we truly look to the Holy Spirit and God and follow His guidance and allow the Holy Spirit to work through us that we can mend the relationships that are broken here on earth. And that's what it shows here, an example here in Acts. And that's what Peter and John are preaching, that this restoration of all things will happen in the end, but it can also happen here and now with the relationships that you've broken, with the things that are messed up here. But it only happens when you allow the Holy Spirit to truly work in your life. And when both people do that in a relationship, even if you don't get back together, even if the relationship is different, it can still be something good again in the future. Because God will be in the midst of that. God will use things from those people that you guys will find some common ground, and you can still do great things together again. But it's only through the Holy Spirit that God restores that those things. Yes, Jackson.
Wait, so isn't heaven
Yeah, in a sense it is. It's even more magnified than that, but in a sense it kind of is. That's a great point, that heaven basically is a better version of the Garden of Eden. It's a better version of what was intended for people all along. So it's kind of neat when you look at Genesis and you go all the way through Revelation. Basically the entire Bible is God restoring the people back to Himself, even though we messed up. And eventually, if we give our lives to Him, in the end, everything will be restored how it should be, originally, in even better form. Think about this. When you go to heaven, our earthly bodies are obviously going to be, when we die, pretty messed up here on earth. But when we get to heaven, it says we get like a new body. A restored, a glorified body. So it's even better than what we could have imagined here on earth. That's kind of cool to think about. Yeah, so basically it's a better version of the Garden of Eden. So God's original plan still comes true. for those that want to follow him. Or his original design. I'm sorry.
What?
Are crippled people still crippled in heaven or not?
I don't think so. No. Because that wouldn't be God's intended plan. That's kind of a consequence of sin.
Yes, he does
that here on earth. He takes like our flaws and still uses them for good. But I think that when they get to heaven, when they get that glorified state, they wouldn't have to deal with that, you know, element anymore. Which is pretty cool to think about. So that's the hope they can hold on to as well, to have that here on earth. Hey, real quick, guys, let me do this and we're going to close. So I want you guys to think about your life today. And I want you guys to think about this. So the first church, when Peter and John were sharing the story about the lame beggar, and people saw the lame beggar, they were naturally inclined to want to know more about God. Because, hey, if God can do that for this guy, what can God restore in my life? What relationships can God restore in my life? What health can he restore in my life? But all, heck yes. But also, God wanted to know, they also wanted to know, what can God ultimately provide for me? Like, what did he, if Jesus is the Savior, and the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, what's the end result going to be for me when I die? You know, what is Jesus preparing for me? And when you know that, hopefully they give themselves a repentance to him and follow him. So what do you guys think about in your life today? Things that God has restored in your life. Think about things in your life that maybe were broken because of sin, whether it was your fault, or whether it was just something that happened in your family life. And think about, through the Holy Spirit, whether it was somebody, the Holy Spirit working in somebody else in your life, whether the Holy Spirit was working in your life. I want you guys to think about relationships and things that God has restored in your life today. So you can share those kind of stories with other people to say, hey, look, I thought this relationship was over. I thought this particular thing in my life was totally ruined. When I gave my life to God and through the Holy Spirit, I began to see God restore that. When you start sharing that with other people, they're also intrigued to say, hey, if God can do that for Wyatt, or if God can do that in Bradley's life, I wonder what God can do in my life. And they begin to see the power of the Holy Spirit, that God is real and he is active and he is still moving today. And they're inclined to also point to say, maybe I should give my life and surrender to Jesus as well. Because he is the Savior. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord and the King of Kings. So I want to go ahead and pause here. And then...